Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
All right. Steve is online. He's muted as normal.
I heard recording is in progress.
Yes. Welcome to Catastrophe, the only hairless Sphinx cat related podcast on the internet.
I thought I was guest starring on Kitastrophe, which is the long haired Persian cat podcast.
Oh, see, I thought Catastrophe would be about Game of Thrones star Kit Harington.
Ooh, or the car from Knight Rider.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Michael. Mr. Feeny.
Mr. Feeny, that's right. I totally forgot it's fucking Mr. Feeny.
Mr. Feeny, he was also He was also John Adams in the movie and theatrical run of the musical 1776.
I don't know what that last part you lost me on, but I was with you until then.
You don't want to talk about Broadway with me, because you know how much that our listeners love it when I talk about Broadway musicals.
Well, so here's the thing. I don't have anything particularly against Broadway or Broadway musicals. I do not oppose them on moral grounds or interest grounds. I simply just do not know a fucking thing about Broadway musicals.
And that's what you're here today for, Steve. You're here to learn. This is an intervention.
I see.
Today we're going to talk about Leah Michelle's return to Broadway as Fanny Bryce, replacing Jonah Hill's sister and Funny Girl. Yes, there you go. Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with you is my co-host, Steve.
Hello, hello, hello.
I probably haven't done that in like 7 episodes, so.
Don't you do it every time?
I think I do it every time, but I've done it so many times that I've lost track. Saying welcome to Game Classy has lost all meaning to me.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're recording on a Wednesday night, which is a little unusual for us because I'm a little slap happy from no sleep / getting up at 4 a.m. So
I'm usually up around 4 a.m.
I know. I just can't do it. But we have lots of gaming stuff to talk about that we're not going to talk about because we're going to talk about Rings of Power.
I've only watched episode 1. Which
I
is
told
really
you
good.
You need to watch fucking episode 2, jackass.
Well, I didn't have time. This week is a fucking catastrophe, cataclysm of shit coming out.
Is it a catastrophe like our Hero Sphinx podcast?
Yeah, it's fucking bad. There's like basically like every manufacturer decided to dump an absolute ludicrous amount of product all at the same time, releasing in the same days, and in a fucking week where we weren't working on Monday.
It's the British. I blame the British.
None of the companies that I'm referring to are British nor based in the UK.
No, they just don't respect the Labor Day. That's what it comes down to.
I could get into it, but it's basically a line. It's a wino line go up problem.
Line go up problem.
Yeah, a classic. Like, because you know, a lot of my, you know, obviously, my customers are like, "Hey, how come the manufacturers dump all this shit at the same time?" And I'm like, "Do you understand what a quarter is?"
Oh, it's the end of the quarter. It's the end of the fiscal year, isn't it?
Yeah. So they dump an absolute shit ton of product, and they all dump it at the same time, so they can all have line go up in their books around the same time, because everyone wants to make money around the same time. Because apparently, just making the money is not okay. You have to make the money in certain time windows as well to make line go up further.
Well, because of your blunder and not watching the second episode of Rings of Power, I'm spoiling the entire thing for you.
Whatever, dude. It's Lord of the Rings. I don't care.
It's not Lord of the Rings. It's Lord of the Rings fan fiction. Did you know it's just woke media trying to shove diversity down our gullets?
Sure. Let's go with that.
No chud would say gullets. They say food holes.
I don't know. Like so far every criticism I've seen, like again, I'm not even joking. Like literally every criticism I've seen about the show so far is it has black people in it. That's literally every, and like I'm not being ironic or in any sort. Like every single criticism I've seen boils down to they mention nothing about the story, they mention nothing about the acting, they literally complain that there's black people in it. They have nothing else. So my only assumption is that it's great as long as you are not fucking offended by seeing black people on your TV screen.
I mean, maybe. So the first we get introduced to Galadriel and Elrond.
Mm-hmm.
Galadriel is a badass who's out to avenge her brother, who was killed in a war with Sauron, right?
Right. Well, I mean, Galadriel being a badass is pretty bog standard. She's the strongest being in Middle Earth outside of Tom Bombadil.
No one is stronger than the Tom Bombadil, except maybe the Grimace.
That's what I said. Outside of Tom Bombadil, she's the strongest being in Middle Earth.
But what about the Grimace? Doesn't the Grimace exist in Middle Earth?
Well, the Grimace is eternal. The Grimace is all, and all are one in the Grimace. So in theory, yes.
All hail Ratma. yeah, so we get to introduce to them and Bargan Bin Gil-galad. He was in the first episode, right? Gil-galad?
That's the king, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I mean, it's so weird. Like, he looks so much like the guy that they got for Lord of the Rings, but it's not the same guy. Like, I first thought it was the same guy. I was like, did they get the same guy to do this? But he looks enough like him that you're like, could that be the same guy? But then you go back and you're like, no, that's not the same guy. So it's really, really throws me off.
They really, really look like each other, though. They really do.
And the problem is, though, they didn't do that for any of the other casting, which bothers me because, like,
right. Isn't that seems like a very measured and specific choice and also very strange.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to get a lookalike actor just for this one role and none of the other ones.
Yeah. No one else looks like anyone else. Like, yeah, you know, these are characters that still exist in Middle Earth in The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't necessarily have to get someone who looks like Cate Blanchett or someone who looks like Hugo Weaving, but it's just very weird for that one character.
They should have just actually got Hugo Weaving and Cate Blanchett.
I mean, maybe, you know, Hugo Weaving looks really old nowadays. I don't know the last time you saw him.
The Hobbit.
Yeah. And Cate Blanchett still looks, you know, 100% gorgeous as Cate Blanchett. But, yeah, I think it's something with, like, that Australian New Zealand sun. It either keeps you young or it gives you cancer. Massive amounts of cancer.
I guess it all depends on which 5G tower reflects your mind control ray or whatever.
Yeah. And then we learn about a small like a little village in that's near Mordor in Gondor that's being patrolled by the elves because the men of that village sided with Sauron in the last war.
Their armor is dope as shit. I really like that armor.
The elf armor?
Yeah, the leaf face armor. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's the elf armor. Yeah, yeah, I dug it.
That armor is fucking cool.
And we see a little boy who's got a crazy ass Morgul blade.
Yes, yeah. The broken Morgul blade. It looks sick.
Yeah. And then, yeah, because there's an elf who's, like, in love with this human girl there. Very Tolkien-esque, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the unrequited thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, with Tolkien, it's always about the elf that falls in love with the human or the human that falls in love with the elf.
That's true. And then the one they complain about where the elf falls in love with the dwarf in The Hobbit, which everyone complained about, and they said there wasn't like Tolkien. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's in all of his shit. There's always, like, a star-crossed lovers thing in everything Tolkien writes, because that's like a classic part of, like, all of the literature that he, you know, aped from. Like, there's always the star-crossed lovers thing.
I was, like, more upset with that because that included Evangeline Lilly, who is, like, a crazy person. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah, like, she's nuts. She's goofy in the head.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know, you fell for her all those years ago in Lost, and now it just turns she's a...
See, that's the thing. I never watched Lost.
You never watched Lost? That was a cultural phenomenon.
I've never seen a single episode of Lost. Not a single episode.
Well, I will say the first season of Lost is one of the greatest seasons of television ever. Ever. It's better than peak Seinfeld.
Whoa, that is a bold claim. Although it is pretty hard to compare a drama to a sitcom, even at peak levels for both.
I've tend to find that on my Seinfeld rewatch, almost every season there's like probably like six episodes that stand out,
Yeah, there's always some gold.
Yeah, there's like six episodes that are decent that you remember being funnier than they actually are. And then like the rest, you're just kind of like, meh.
Well, it's Seinfeld. It's great. Like, it's great.
Anywho, yeah, and then we also get to meet the hobbits. The hobbits. They're going to Isengard.
Yes, they're called like Harfoots or something.
Yeah,
they're
the Harfoots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like a weird gypsy band of Roma band of hobbits.
I don't think so, because they don't actually seem to be mobile. They just are hidden.
Well, like in the second episode, they talk about migrating.
Ah, okay. So they're camouflaged movers.
Yeah, and I find that funny, because people are all upset that there's black hobbits, and this is more episode two, that there are black hobbits, but yet no one seems to be upset that they're obviously parallel to gypsies in Roma. You know, it's like,
dude, just, whatever, man. It's just like D&D is both simultaneously offensive and woke. Like,
oh man, we're gonna have to get into that, aren't we? I don't want to either.
I'm just going to say, if your thing is simultaneous, if I see a bunch of people saying this is woke and then a bunch of people saying this is offensive, I'm going to sidestep that discourse. I'm just going to be like, okay, y'all have at it. You two sides fight each other. I'm good. I will continue to play Total War. Thank you.
Yeah. That's pretty much kind of how I'm feeling on that one. Yeah. But anyway, but what you missed is in the second episode. Well, because my whole problem with the first episode was it was a whole lot of exposition.
Yes, it was definitely all set up.
It was all set up. But my problem is that I didn't care about any of the characters that they set up yet. So they were trying to do like world building and set up without me actually caring about the characters. What they should have done was, let's sit me down with Elrond, sit me down with Galadriel, let me know them for a second so I can kind of get an idea of who they are. And then let's go into the setup for the plot. Because I think Galadriel was cool, but she was very much like, I am going to kill Sauron, and that is my whole purpose in life. Right?
Right, right.
And I'm kind of like, yeah, but you know, let's see more about her brother and her interaction with her brother. Like, it's, I know the episode started off with that little thing, but I thought that was a weak opening, and B, I really wanted to learn more about her brother. Like, why was her brother so badass? Why does she want to avenge him? Blah, 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 blah. Tell me more about that.
Sure.
And don't say, well, they're probably going to explore it later. No, I don't. No, no, we don't do that. We're this isn't a TV show. I need to know right at the beginning. I don't want to buy in for something. If I'm buying in for something, that's a movie, and I'm not here to watch a 9-hour movie. If I wanted to watch a 9-hour movie, I would go watch the original Lord of the Rings. This is a TV show. Treat it like it's TV. So, yes. So I needed that for both Elrond and Galadriel. Mm. Like, Elrond's talking about, like, Galadriel's my best friend and blah, blah, blah. Never see an ounce of that on the screen. I need a little bit more. But in the second episode, Elrond is working with Celebrimbor to make the rings, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Celebrimbor is like, I need this giant furnace, and it kind of looks like one of the towers from Shadows of Mordor, which made me giggle a tiny bit. He's like, you know, but you're gonna need an army to put that together, and you know, Elrond's like, I have someone who might be able to help. So he goes to visit the dwarves, right? The dwarf part, the best world building, the best character building in the entire series so far, and only two episodes in.
Nice.
The dwarves are exactly like you want them to be, you know. Uh-huh. Elrond is like brought in. It's very Wizard of Oz, you know, like nobody gets in to see Durin, not nobody, not know how. They bring him in, and Durin's all pissed at Elrond. Elrond doesn't know why. Durin walks in, and everyone's chanting like Durin, 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 and then Durin stops them by raising his fist and just says Khazad, and everyone else says Doom. I was like, yes, sweet. This is exactly what I want.
Nice.
100% everything that I wanted in this show. And then Elrond challenges him to a rock smashing contest.
Okay.
And I was like, that's perfect. That's exactly what would happen in a Tolkien story.
That's great.
So you watch the second episode. There's more that happens in it. But yeah, watch the second episode. You get some pretty good character stuff in there, which I appreciate.
All right, good. Yeah, I will. I mean, like I said, I plan to watch it, and then I'm just gonna watch. You said they're gonna drip feed the episodes, right, once a week?
Yeah, they're drip feeding them like they do with The Boys, or Amazon just drip feeds all their TV shows like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, I know people are. It's very. What's the word I'm looking for? Very divisive. Mainly because I think it's just people who cling on to Tolkien as this like epitome of like this is high art or whatever have you they're doing. It's like, no, you gotta remember Peter Jackson did a lot of fucking crazy shit in the Lord of the Rings trilogy to begin with. I'm discounting all of the racists, right? Like people who have other concerns with it that are not racist. It's like calm down. Like they had Legolas and Gimli do a beer drinking contest in Return of the King. We're gonna move past that. Okay.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's just who cares? Like, shut up.
But I do like that they set up a mystery, which was great, in that they wanna like who is Sauron? Like Sauron is in the show right now, but someone is disguised as Sauron. So who is it? Some people think it's the stranger who fell down in the comet. Some people think it's maybe the wolf. Some people think it might be the guy that's on the boat with Galadriel. It could be anything, really, but it'd be interesting to find out who. I like that. I like that as like, who is this guy? It's like, ooh, a nice little mystery for us to solve while we're watching. I will enjoy this while I drink my alcoholic beverages and have my snacks.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so I really enjoyed like that aspect of the show. So, but you know, people who complain about shit, whatever.
I don't know. I saw a lot of the same kind of complaints about new Game of Thrones because apparently there's black people in that as well.
Yeah, I actually like the show quite a bit. I know that story though because they go over it in the book Fire and Blood, so I know how it's going to end. But the cool thing is that it's a really cool story from start to finish, and the whole middle section is just dragon fights, so that's what I'm super excited about.
That story is a like literal sequential prequel, right? Like that's going to end when Game of Thrones like starts essentially,
no.
Right?
No, no, no. This happens like a couple hundred years before then.
Oh, okay. I thought Matt Ward was what's her face's dad or whatever.
you're so wrong on many of the parts of that statement.
I don't know, bro.
Matt Ward is a writer for Games Workshop.
Ah, there you go. That's what
Matt Smith is no, he's another character altogether.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, the story is there's like a brief out, not a brief outline. There's this pretty in depth outline that George R. R. Martin wrote for it in the story, in the book Fire and Blood, which is great because the writers can just take this outline and just fill in the blanks. And do some really cool stuff with it. I like this show. I'm just happy I have so much fantasy on TV right now.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm watching Lord of the Rings. It's really it. I don't really watch much of anything else. Most of my time is spent studying, working out, or playing Total War.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're better than us, but I just want to say that I'm happy that we're going to be getting Willow really soon.
Willow looks sick.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it'll look sick. I'm just excited to kind of to watch Willow again. It won't be the same because James Horner's dead, so all the music is going to be not as good. They'll get Bear McCreary or whoever to do it, so it'll be kind of sad that way. But we'll have that, and Wheel of Time season 2 should be coming soon, which I'm excited about. Even though people hate that show, I kind of like it. So whatever.
Hey, it made it. I thought that show was like very, very potential to be canceled situation, wasn't it?
I mean, it might be. I thought they're doing a second season of it.
I guess I don't fucking know. I don't follow anything anymore, man. I really don't. Yeah. there's too much shit to follow, and everyone's just mad about everything, so it's easier to just not.
However, I think we should talk about the Dungeons and Dragons thing briefly. It is newsworthy, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. So someone said TSR. Wizards invented a new race for Spelljammer.
No, they're not new though.
They're not new.
They're super old. They used to look like hideous little goblins too. They didn't look like monkeys.
Yeah, so it's like a race that was a slave race that was eventually freed by elves, and then they work for the elves and they're happy to do it.
Well, technically they were actually just regular monkeys first.
Yes.
They were not even sentient. They were just actual monkeys.
Yes.
That were experimented on by a wizard. He gave them an intelligence potion and they all got super smart. And then they were enslaved by this wizard, and the wizard was a dickhead. And eventually the elves were like, hey, this dude is treating these now sentient monkey people who don't look like people at all. They just literally look like monkeys. They're walking, talking monkeys. So like, it's like in the episode of The Simpsons, they're like, we're going to tell everyone that the monkeys we sent to space came back super intelligent. And he's like, no, I don't think we'll be telling them that. It's just a monkey on fucking skates. That's what these are. They're called like T-Bows or something. T-Bows. I don't know.
Something crazy like that.
So they revolt, and with the aid of the elves, they overthrow and kill this wizard. So the wizard is dead, and now there's this race of sentient monkey mans who are like, yeah, we're like sentient monkey mans now, and we're magically altered, so we're a new species, and we're gonna work for the elves. And then like they become pirate sailors and shit. I don't know. That is the TLDR of their storyline.
Yes, and people could see the obvious parallels between them and, you know, slavery in America, and you know it caused quite a stir. And of course, when you have someone who's like complains about it, you know, there's going to be, of course, people who are like, no way is it that, you know, like immediate knee jerk reaction to defend the billion-dollar company. But then Wizards came out and they apologized for it. Which I found was very interesting that they did that.
They also are not. They're going to omit them from future printings of the book, and yes, they've removed them from the digital content.
Yes. So
Hadozi. They were from D&D in 1982.
There you go. So you actually have like a weird little racist collectible if you still have your copy of Spelljammer, like I do.
Yeah, you have a questionably racist collectible.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's funny about that is that you have so many people who accuse D&D 24/7 of being nothing but pandering and woke. And I'm pretty sure those are the same people who are suddenly defending D&D, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. It's just like, yay, they finally did a racist. And then they're like, oh, we're sorry we did a racist. And they're like, no! You were the chosen one.
Yeah. I know there was someone actually pointed out something that was, they said like there was like, the forced experimentation narrative was pretty bad taste.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, look,
Tuskegee experiments, etc.
Exactly. It's like, there's a lot that you can draw from it. As a white person myself, as a middle-aged white person, I'm just going to lean to the side of like, when someone says, yeah, this is bad, I'll probably be like, you know, if this guy says it's bad, it's probably bad.
all I'm saying is that they made him into adorable, cute little monkey mans. If they kept them looking like hideous goblins like they were in second edition, nobody would have cared.
Maybe. I don't, you know, I might disagree with that. I think anytime you start talking about shit like, you know, slavery, it's like you're going to raise a couple eyebrows if you're not handling it correctly. And they obviously did not handle it correctly. Mm. So there you go. And that's all we're going to say on that subject.
Oh, and they can fly. I forgot. Their one other thing is they have special skin flaps so they can fly.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously no parallels to anybody here on Earth, but I'm sure if I had skin flaps that allowed me to fly, I have a special
skin. I have a special skin flap that allowed me to fly.
Yeah. I have a special little pipe that lets me fly. It's my crack pipe.
All right. I like it.
All right. So we also have some other gaming news, don't we? We should have more gaming news.
Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of sweet Warhammer stuff.
They announced a bunch of crap over at Nova.
Yeah.
I mean, did you pay any attention to any of it?
I did, actually. I saw there's, well, like, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I don't care about, but then there's some stuff that I do care about.
What's
like,
some of the stuff you care about there, Steve?
Eternus, Blade of the First Prince. Very cool. He's an ex. So the Vanguard are Archaean's chosen dudes. They're like, yes, basically, like, if you've ever wanted to have an army of all Chaos Lords, you can do that, because that's what the Vanguard basically are. It's basically like a unit of Chaos Lords. So there's this dude who has renounced Archaean and taken up or Archaean. I don't know.
Friendship with Archaean is over now. Friendship with Bellicor.
Yeah, Bellicor is now my best friend.
Now Bellicor best friend.
Yeah, and he's very cool looking. He's very huge. They did a really neat black lacquered his armor on himself and his steed, so his armor is just metal looking now. Very cool. I guess he's basically Bellicor's herald. He's got a very sweet and very strong looking rule, which basically, like, if he's dead, you just roll two dice. And if Bellicor is on your field on an 8 or higher, he just comes back.
Just, oh, wow.
Like, he just comes back. Like, if he's dead, he just has a chance to just keep coming back, which is very cool. Yeah, so no, he looks sweet. That was one of the, I thought that model was one of the coolest reveals. The new Chaos stuff looks fucking dope.
I was gonna say, what about the Giant King?
Oh yes, the Giant King's very cool. King Brod with his massive fucking hammer.
I have to say that I'm not a huge fan of the sculpt, but I really like the paint job that they did on it.
Okay.
The paint job on the face is really, really nice. But I think he looks sad. Like, he's got sadness in his eyes, which I don't really like in my models. Well, I want him like screaming and bellowing, not looking kind of like
he, you know, he's
wistful.
He's a giant king. Maybe he is wistful. You know, maybe
he could very well be. And I also don't understand why they keep making these giants knock-kneed. Like, do they have scurvy? Do they have rickets? They have rickets. They have rickets from lack of vitamin D.
I've had enough to hear with these damn rickets.
Exactly. They all look like they're walking around like rickets, like children who worked in a coal mine.
Well, maybe they do get a little scurvy.
No, they had rickets. If they had scurvy, their teeth would fall out.
Yeah, they also revealed the other half of the Demon Prince kit. Which,
oh,
is,
yeah,
cool. Well, yeah, because so in the Chaos Rises box set with the new very, very cool looking plastic chosen, which look awesome. They also have a unit I thought were new Minotaurs. They look fucking dope as hell, but they're not actually Minotaurs. They're more Ogroids.
Oh, so they're not Minotaurs. Yeah, they're the new Ogroids. They previewed those.
Yeah, they're very cool. But anyway, so yeah, and then the new Plastic Chosen, which also looked dope. But anyway, yeah, so they previewed the Demon Prince a while back for 40K, and they mentioned that the kit comes with essentially, like, they're like, there's a shit ton of other bits for the Age of Sigmar version in the same box. But we'll reveal that later. So in this reveal for this box set, they revealed the Age of Sigmar Demon Prince, who looks fucking awesome. He looks very cool. And they also revealed the chosen, the undivided head, and then the heads affiliated to each power. And they are great looking. They're some of the best looking, like, Demon Prince sized aligned heads I've seen. Each head looks perfect. They're very good. So
they,
yeah,
do look nice. I think they look better than the Blood Pelt Hunter, which is a really dumb looking model.
You know what's funny? Joe said, I showed, because Joe is a huge Ogre Kingdoms fan, and the first thing he said when I showed him the model, he's like, that model needs a new head.
it's awful. Awful, yeah, looking.
The head is really fucked up. The model itself is fine. It's just the head is fucked up, and which is annoying too, because if you look at the art doesn't match the model kind of at all. Because, like, so here's the deal, dear listeners. So this is a big ass ogre, and I actually think the head being bad is kind of annoying, because, like, the rest of the sculpt is very cool. Like, he's in an interesting pose. He's got a couple, like, giant monster heads on his belt. He's got a giant fucking bolt thrower crossbow that he's holding, and a couple huge fucking spears, and then a pelt on his back. He looks very cool. And on the art, he's got an antler, like a pair of antlers tied to his head, just like strapped with like a headband. And he's got this awesome fucking necklace of hands, which looks great. It's just a necklace of fucking disembodied hands. So then the actual miniature, though, does not have the sweet hand necklace, and the face. So he has a different set of antlers on his head. They're very small. They don't look like the moose antlers that the art has. And also the straps, instead of being a headband that just clearly are designed to have the antlers, strapped to his head, they're like going over like, I don't know, 50% of his face.
Yeah. It's like the sculptor, like, would just like looked at the artwork and like took all of the wrong things, like even made the teeth obscenely huge, which they don't need to be.
Yeah, he's got regular sized ogre, like, or he has proportional teeth in the art.
And the funniest thing of the whole thing is that the ogres already have a wonderful hunter kit with the Hrothgar, whatever his name is, from Underworlds. That ogre hunter team is amazing. I love that model. It looks great, and it looks 1,000 times better than this model. And then I just don't understand it when you have a good model, and then they're like, no, we're not going to use that model. You're going to use this model.
Right. Well, I mean, that's because Hrothgar is Hrothgar.
Yeah, I know. It's just, if I was going to have an Ogre Kingdom army that needed a hunter, I would use that model instead.
Yeah, and just say, this is my hunter. Yeah, I think I would be very, very surprised if that wasn't what people were already doing.
Yes. Also, what was released, they showed all the Khorne stuff, the Khorne Berserker stuff for the Khorne Codex.
Oh yeah, for 40K
Codex World Eaters. Thank you for yawning on the microphone, Steve. I really appreciate that.
You brought up 40K, and I was just I was so fatigued.
Looking at the Berserkers, I just can't help but say, yeah, that's a thing. That's a berserker right there. They look like everyone was hoping for the updates from the old whatever third edition 40K plastics that have been around forever, and this just kind of looks like, they look like almost the exact same thing.
I mean, they look good. They're definitely better. Like the there's more details. The heads are cooler.
Listen, everybody I talk to about them does the exact same thing. Their voices just go up, and they're like, yeah, they look good.
No,
like everyone said does that. They're like,
but that's the thing. What can you like? It's just one of those things where like, what can you say to like they look correct? You know, when you have something that's solved, like the only things that you can really do is like when you have a visual design that's solved, there's only so much you can do to like improve the kit. And I think that's what they did here. It's not exciting because it just seems so much like, yeah, that's correct. Like you've updated this kit and you've updated it properly. That's really what all it is. I'm not like hyped, like, oh man, the Khorne Berserkers look so much better. It's like, yeah, they do look so much better, but like it's just like the Leman Russ. Like the only thing you could do to improve the Leman Russ is make the actual kit less of a fucking pain in the ass to assemble.
No, they'll never do that.
I'm not saying that they will
make it
that.
More of a pain in the ass before they make it less of a pain in the ass.
I'm not saying that they would do that. I'm just saying that like you can't improve that kit, like the Leman, you can't improve like the Leman Russ profile. It's like that's a Leman Russ. Like you look at it, it's the Leman Russ.
It's the Leman Russ. I want to talk about one last thing before we gotta split the cast again. Did announce that the Lucidian Star Striders and Gellerpox Infected from the Kill Team box. Remember the Rogue Trader Kill Team box?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Gellerpox were super hard to get.
Yes. Well, the secondary market all like took a collective shudder when they announced that those were coming back, because those were like some of the most expensive models that were coming. They were like on the resale market.
Yep.
And they were like, no. I bought all those boxes to split them up. I actually have a box of them here. But yeah, people were very, very upset about that.
Well, I mean, good. It sounds like the right people are upset then.
All right. Well, we're going to stop the cast here and then come back in just a second.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to go pee.
I heard the recording in progress.
I know we have to. For people who are worried about Steve saying that every time, it's because I've forgotten so many times.
We will make sure that we don't forget.
We will make sure that we don't forget. All right. So one more Games Workshop thing that I wanted to talk about was they are finally doing an expansion for Curse City. For those who aren't aware, Curse City was the Warhammer Quest board game that they released right before COVID?
I'd say it was kind of at like the first big like initial COVID thing, because it was also like the first one of the biggest
blunders.
Scalper products.
Yes, it was huge for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they did I'm trying to see when it was actually released. So they did the 2 week release date for it. I like how it's like controversially cut short. Like, is it really that much of a controversy? It was in 2021.
Yeah, so is selling out of a product a controversy? Because that was the thing. They sold out. That was what happened.
So it came out in 2021. Everyone wanted it, and they were like, "Oh, exciting! A new Warhammer Quest board game." Quickly sold out, and Games Workshop was mum on the whole thing. Like, there was no, like, "Oh, don't worry, it'll come back in the store. It'll come back online and all this stuff." Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. Finally, they came out and said, "We don't have any more."
Yeah,
basically the Brexit and the COVID crisis, supply chain crisis, basically prevented them from ever doing anything with it.
Yes, but they were able to actually finally print more, and now it's widely available. You can buy it for a reasonable price immediately.
So all of the expansions that they had planned for Curse City got put on the wayside because Games Workshop, they produce all of their figures in the UK, or, you know, I think it's all in the UK at this point.
Yeah, however, Citadel makes everything as far as I know.
Yeah. Well, they used to have a manufacturing facility in the United States. I don't know if that's still here. I don't think it is.
Mm,
but the all their paper product was made in China at the time. Well, they originally had a person in the UK, and I guess the person in the UK wasn't doing it anymore or something. I don't remember what the exact reason was, but they had everything in China. But then it was like, you know, China can't get anything to anyone anymore. Like, so they weren't able to get anything. So there was basically four characters and like the Felbats were all supposed to have an expansion for Curse City.
Mm.
And they didn't have it. So what they ended up doing is they created a box set which contains character cards and everything that they were going to do for these characters, for three vampire characters, the Radikar, the Beast, and Felbats, put all together in this expansion. Great. However, on their announcement, they specifically said, "This box set will contain no miniatures,"
which I thought was totally like, when's the last time Workshop has done that? That's like been a long time.
I mean, a box set with no minis.
Yeah. Workshop used to do that a while ago, but I think it was you. Yeah. The fact they don't have cardboard standees is wild.
Yeah. Well, I said they probably should. That would have helped some of the problems with it.
Hmm.
But the overall, to me, I think it was put together to buy all of these miniatures for this expansion box set would cost. What did I tell you? The total cost was $250.
No, it was over $100.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was like all the three vampire characters were $90 total. And then Radikar was like another $50. So that's $140. And the Felbats were another like $40. So $180 for all the figures, right around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you figure it's $180 for that, plus the box set, which will probably cost about $40, which will put it at $220, which is more than the actual box set itself costs. Which, you know, I know a lot of people are you're like, this is a luxury product. There's lots of excuses for it, but I could kind of understand why people are a little upset about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can always just, you know, use Countess models are fine.
Well, for me, I think the important thing is that you get the box set for the expansion.
Yeah.
All of those box sets that were released for Blackstone Fortress are going for fortunes now online.
Oh yeah.
every one of those expansions.
I'm pretty sure we said that. Like anyone who was interested, like when it was going out of print, we were like, you should just buy as many as you want to sit on.
Yeah. Well, yes, that was Blackstone Fortress, but I'm talking those expansions. Those went out of print way before Blackstone Fortress went out of print. And those things are going for an ass ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Amble one, I think is what I saw for like $400 or something ridiculous like that.
That's crazy.
I know, it's ridiculous. And I know someone who actually got into it late and got everything for Blackstone Fortress off an eBay sale, like almost all new and package for about $1,000, right? And it's like, that's a deal. That's a steal right now for that.
Which is crazy.
I know. But I mean, you think about it though, it's a nice compact game though. You could get a lot of use out of that game with all of the expansions added to it.
Oh, I know, for sure.
I played Curse City this weekend with some friends, and we were just playing the basic stuff, and I forget how fun that game is. It's been a while since I played it. There's a lot of fiddly stuff with it that I still don't like, but whatever. Well, we'll see how that goes on. But yeah, so that was the other big Games Workshop controversy, and it's really fun to watch it because much like Lord of the Rings, where every like a ring of power, where every forum and sub forum are like, okay, guys, we have to ban people who are talking about how they, don't like this because of the black characters. There's people like Curse City forums are all like, okay, guys, we get it. You don't like that you have to spend all of this money on the miniatures. That's fine. You could leave the board. You could quit playing the game. I just don't want you to complain about it anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, go away.
I mean, seriously, it's people are just sighing about it. Just like, And, Rings of Power, people are complaining because Amazon suspended, negative reviews on it. And it's like, no, they didn't suspend negative reviews on it. They just won't publish your review because it's racist.
Yeah. They also only suspended user reviews. All of the reviews are available. So did Rotten Tomatoes. All of the reviews are widely available. All of these sites that have reviews and non-user based reviews have published all of their critical reviews, and they've all stopped user reviews because the user reviews are all just full of racist review bombers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they blocked my review. Your review is racist. It was okay. It was.
They would never. No, they never. They would never, ever admit it. Ever.
No, they outright did. They said they outright said many. They were not blocking reviews. We're just blocking reviews that go against our terms of service.
Oh no! I was saying that the racist person would never admit that what they said was racist.
Oh yeah. That's true. That tracks.
Yeah.
All right. So any other gaming news that we should talk about?
Yes. One last, there's a steaming hot news. We just got this message to us. One of our listeners, a longtime listener, has done a little comedy tabletop RPG. It looks cute and fun. It's called Hell Inc., the RPG. I just linked it on the Facebook page. It looks good. You make a swift little character. There's a flow chart and how to play. It looks very funny. It looks good. I think lighthearted comedy RPGs that have fast brewing characters and very quick play are actually an extremely useful tool in your DM arsenal for when you have the inevitable, the five players all said they would be there and only four of them have shown up and no one can get a hold of the fifth player because he went on a bender last night and has just passed out for the night and he's not coming.
Yeah, that tends to happen.
Yeah, so having a game that's like a short, easy play like this, it's indispensable. Absolutely indispensable to have, because when you have, the majority of the party looking to play a game, no one wants to be like, oh, I'm going to just generate, a complicated, 2d20 or d20 character and, do all this background shit. Like if a bunch of people need to reference the core rule book for, 20, 30 minutes to make their character, you're not going to get that done. Everyone will make their new characters and then it'll be time for everyone to go home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, character creation, not fun.
There's a reason that most people do it before the game starts, or the DM just hands out pre-made sheets.
Here's your pre-made sheet. What's my background? What's my motivation? Your motivation is to play Dungeons and Dragons. Let's go. God. Let's get this thing here.
Your motivation is you want treasure.
You want you want treasure and you want your own castle at level 5. That's what you want.
Yep. There you go.
Yes. Something else that I did see, Games Workshop's pretty much shown all of the Leagues of OTAN stuff. So you could finally get to see like what the squad army is going to look like.
The squits.
How is Mantic not suing them? It like 100% looks like a Mantic army. Not in a bad way. It just looks like a Mantic army. I think it's the paint job. It's got to be that paint job that they did on there that makes it look so Mantic-y.
Yeah, maybe. It's a lot of solid coloring.
It's like that teal blue color with the off white.
Mm-hmm.
Very much looks like a Mantic paint job.
I think they're cool. I like them. You know, they I like their little their little trucks with their little wheels, their little Terminators that are not egg shaped.
Yeah, they do not have egg shaped Terminators,
which is unfortunate. But there are a few that do look pretty good, even though they're not egg shaped. Yeah, I mean they look fine. I'm interested to see if they're a success. That's certainly that's what I'm most interested in. Like, I want to see if this, like, because this is a brand. How long has it been since there's been a legit, like, new faction in 40K? It's been a while, right?
Probably Mechanicus.
And wasn't that a while back?
Either Mechanicus or, no, so I think it was Custodes were the last for, like, a new faction.
Okay.
It's one of the two. I'm almost positive because I believe the Custodes didn't get plastics until it was just a few years ago. But yeah, it was the Custodes aren't even that fleshed out of a faction. They're mostly a Forge World faction. There's like,
right. Well, they're supposed to be like a supplemental faction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like two sets for them. Yeah. The Mechanicus were probably the last army that was given a full release army. So yeah, that was a while ago. That was probably close to 10 years ago at this point.
There you go. Yes. I mean, I think they look cool. It's funny now, all I can think about is the Mantic paint job now. I agree with you. I think it just looks like a Mantic army, especially the exo armors, the not Terminators.
They just have that
feel of like the really uniform color. But yeah, no, I think they're cool looking. I think they seem cool. They're small.
So I was actually thinking because of what you said with the last week. You said that the squad codex will probably be the biggest predictor of what 10th edition of 40K will look like, and I'm like, yeah, if 10th edition is just a variation on 8th and 9th. You are absolutely 100% correct. However, if they do a total redux for 10th, it'll probably be much different.
I don't think they're doing a total redux for 10. I think they're done with total reduxes. I don't think that they can. I don't think they'll be doing that. For as long as they can extend that away from, for as long as they can extend that possibility, I believe they will. So yeah, I think it's going to be, however it's done, it's going to be a preview of if the next big thing is the next edition. That's the thing, because you always look at like, because like it's perfect, like the last army book for Age of Sigmar second edition was the Soulblight Gravelords.
Yeah, that's true. It was,
and if you looked when that book came out, they were like, this book has no fucking battalions. They're like, where the fuck are the battalions in this book? And like there was a bunch of like changes that seemed like odd. You know, like they just didn't seem to make perfect sense. And then the second third edition came out, it was just like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Okay. Yeah, because they only had a core battalion, and it was just like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck does that mean? Core battalion. Yeah, so they usually like front load the final book, the final codex of any edition. They try to make it, you know, as function, it's kind of like it's not usually a good place to be in, because they try to make it functional across two editions at once, and they usually end up failing.
Well, you can for example, you go back to the sixth edition fantasy, The Dwarves were the last book released for 6th edition, but also the first book for 7th edition. They straddled the line for that one.
Right.
So a lot of the stuff in the 7th edition book was totally predictable of the 6th edition book was predictable of what was going on in 7th.
Yeah.
7th had a lot of that for 8th. Skaven and Beastmen were both codexes that traveled over to 8th edition from the fantasy line.
Yep. Yeah. So it's very likely that if the next thing is going to be 10th edition, Votann is going to be your taster of some of the changes will be. So if there's things that are weird or don't seem usual for books if they don't seem like a standard operating procedure in terms of books, you know, that's going to be why. And as I said, that's just my guess, you know, because it's just how they operate. And I don't think they're going to change like randomly.
No, you don't think they're just going to change randomly?
I don't. I don't think they're just going to suddenly be like, yeah, we're just going to be totally different now.
It'll be interesting to see, because I know that there was a drastic shift from 7th to 8th edition, which is why they released all those books for 8th edition right off the bat, because none of the 7th edition codexes would work for 8th edition.
Right, right.
Like even remotely.
So, yeah, yeah. You know, that was like I said, that was the last big redux, and they don't want to keep doing a bunch of like, you know, here's another giant redux. Here's another giant redux. That's why, you know, one of the reasons that they're doing the General's Handbooks for Age of Sigmar is because, you know, they're trying to keep the game as like
workable
and even handed as possible, which I mean, I think for the most part, they're doing a really good job. Like, honestly, with Age of Sigmar, like I said, I can't speak for 40K, but like Age of Sigmar seems pretty good. Like, yeah, like there's still, you know, there's top tournament armies, but I don't think that they're like they seem to be really hitting the worst pain points pretty effectively. Like one of the worst pain points in the current tournament meta was there was everyone was taking the shoot cast list where you took you took two units of the giant crossbow guys, the long strikes, and then you just give them the command to double shoot and you would just delete shit basically before the game started. And like it's not really fun to play against, it's not really fun to play, but it's very effective. So the dudes who just want to win, like, use it obviously because they're like, yeah, it's gonna let you win. They nerfed that super hard in the most recent update. They're like, they just straight up were just like, so here's the deal, you actually can't give this command to these units that have been reinforced. They just straight up gave it an actual targeted nerf, which is really cool. That's something that was never common for Workshop. They would never do targeted nerfs like that before. They would always just be like, yeah, we'll fix it when the new codex comes out.
Yeah, well,
so they've done a pretty good job, I think, of like, it doesn't seem like anyone is talking about like the metagame being toxic, which is where you want to be, because like there's always going to be the best lists, there's always going to be top tier lists, you know, there's going to be, you know, some armies are going to shake out and be shitty, some armies are going to shake out and be too strong, and then some armies are going to shake out and just kind of be in the middle. That's fine, as long as nothing falls into the toxic level of way too fucking strong. You're good. Like that's all you can hope for with any game. Like there's not a single game you can point out. Like anyone who tells you that, oh, this game I'm playing is balanced, they're a fucking liar. There's no such thing as a balanced game. There is not a single game that is balanced. There's only games that are reasonably balanced or well balanced. There's no such thing as an actual balanced game. So, you know, it's just like how balanced, you know, and I know 40K has apparently been pulling out of it. Out of its issues as well, from what I hear. Again, that's secondhand. I don't directly follow 40K, but supposedly it's been pulling out of its tailspin where it was having an issue with toxic top tiers. So like that's the difference. It's like top tier armies are always going to happen, just like top tier anything other is going to happen, but you can't afford to have a toxic top tier ruin your game, because that's what actually kills your game. Having something that's top tier and fun to play, no one will ever care.
All right, then. That is from the mouth of Steve himself.
There you go. Yes, that's my discourse on game balance and armies that are good and weak.
Yes, and we will see how 40K will deal with a new edition next year when it actually drops. You know, far, far, far from where we're talking right now, where we should be talking about the here and the now, but instead we're speculating on something that's even rumored to come out.
Yeah, speculating is more fun.
Speculation is more fun. So aside from that, Steve, do we have anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we kind of hit everything. Not super what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot to talk about, but it's like a lot of nonsense stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. I did want to mention, I want to mention how much I hate Facebook because of how hard it is to fucking navigate now anything with our page.
Oh my god, it's so fucking annoying. It's like fuck, the Zuck was just like, I'm gonna make it a fucking pain in the ass to do anything on your page.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. It was Ashley though who did throw us about the D&D album. I wanted to give my shout out to him on that one.
Nice. Hey.
Yes. And I did want to throw out something for CH West, who listens. He's been playing talking about Silver Bayonet. And that game looks cool as hell. I just wanted to throw that out there. Have not played it yet. Haven't even looked at the rules, but I just kind of like the idea of it. Like, the fuck is
Silver Bayonet?
Silver Bayonet. It is a quasi-historical fantasy game.
Okay.
Where it's like Napoleonic troops, but there's vampires and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, to say it's cool is stretching it a bit, but it's for nerds, it's kind of neat to be.
Yeah, I mean, cool, subjective.
Yeah, the models are very, very old school. Like, you look at them and you're saying, how in the hell did these get made in this state?
Oh, there's like goblins too.
Yeah, it's all the monster stuff. It's nice. It looks like a fun Halloween game. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
Yes. So go to our Facebook page. It's Game Classy Podcast. You can talk with us there and we'll maybe hopefully see your post because the Zuckerberg hates any sort of commerce going to that page.
Yeah.
You can follow me on the Instagram. I'm at Game Classy Joe. You can follow Steve on Twitter. He's at @command_throw. Correct, Steve?
That is correct.
All right. I knew I'm getting it finally after, you know, 270 episodes of this show.
You did it. Now what I got to do is I got to update my Twitter @ and change my handle.
No.
Yes.
It's actually @_command_throw. God damn it. Actually, Steve owns all of those. He has @command_throw, @_command_throw, @command_throw_, BigBong69. Anyone's that missing?
I don't think so.
He also goes by Cardi S sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. And also Burt Reynolds.
And Burt Reynolds, Turd Ferguson. You could also listen to us not only on the iTunes, you could listen to us on the YouTubes where you can like, comment, subscribe. Best way to help out the podcast. At the end of it all, Steve, until next time.
I'm very much looking forward to my morning coffee tomorrow. I got a nice salted caramel blend grinding the beans in the morning.
You're going to get the coffee poops.
I am going to get the coffee poops.
Later.
Game Classy.